to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we'll read verses 8 to 14. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by God, by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows what they have done, and that it's an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." They then called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. When we look at this text tonight, we should be struck by a remarkable change that has occurred in Peter, and not forget who this man was. This is the local fisherman, good at his job of catching fish on Lake Galilee, but not skilled in anything else, and certainly not well educated. He has a rather impetuous nature, and has a strong tendency to rush in where angels fear to tread. However, he's no more courageous than the next man, and when danger threatens, he tends to retreat out of harm's way. He left his home and family to follow Jesus, but then when Jesus was on trial, Peter denied that he even knew him. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, Peter and the others retreated to the upper room and kept out of the way until the danger from the rulers of the Jews was past. But then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and Peter was filled with a new boldness, and fearlessly he went out into the streets and proclaimed the gospel to all who would hear. Peter and John, going into the temple in the name of Jesus, healed a man crippled since birth. And this angered the Sanhedrin, and they ordered the arrest of Peter and John in an effort to stamp out the followers of this troublesome carpenter that they had just crucified. But instead of being timid and afraid before the Sanhedrin, Peter began to rebuke them with what they had done to the Son of God. And the Sanhedrin were astonished. They weren't used to people talking back to them, let alone actually attacking them. And they knew that Peter was only a simple, uneducated fisherman. And as they looked for an explanation of his unusual boldness, the only explanation that they could find was that these men had been with Jesus. Now, we can go into all sorts of theological debates about how the power and the boldness came from the Holy Spirit. But the thing is that the Sanhedrin had no experience of the Holy Spirit. And the fact remains that the only explanation that they could come up with was these men had been with Jesus. Seeing ordinary men working miracles and having great boldness, seeing the great change in Peter, seeing him do and say things that were totally unexpected, well, this was the only explanation that they could come to. If it could only be true of every one of us here tonight who profess to Jesus Christ as their Lord. Can the same thing be said about you or about me? Can people look at us and see something about us that makes them think or say, these people have been with Jesus? If they could, then I'm sure that the world would be turned upside down, or the right way up, just as it was by those early Christians. What if our lives so reflected Jesus Christ that everyone we came into contact with would see that there is something different about us? What would it take to make us like that? Well, I'd like to suggest that a Christian should be a striking likeness of Jesus Christ. Within the Bible, we've got many pictures of the life of Jesus Christ, and as we carefully study the scriptures, we get a picture of what he was like. But the best picture of Christ that we can have is his living picture, shown in the words and actions of his people. If we were what we profess to be, we would be pictures of Christ, such a striking likeness of him that the world would say, he has been with Jesus, he's been taught by him, he's like him, and he shows it in his very life and everyday actions. Now, when I say that a believer should bear a striking likeness to Jesus, I don't mean that any one Christian, any one of us at all, will ever be perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact that perfection is beyond our reach shouldn't mean that we don't eagerly desire it. As Christians, although we feel that while on earth we can never become the exact image of Christ, we still try to be as much like him as possible. We will desire to become more and more the image of Christ Jesus. And one way that we should be like Jesus is in our courage, or as the King James puts it, in our boldness. Jesus Christ and his disciples were noted for their courage. We saw it earlier, didn't we? When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, Jesus never favored the rich. He wasn't afraid of the great and the noble. He stood, a man before men, the prophet of the people, speaking out boldly and freely what he thought. Look at his courage when going to the town of Nazareth, where he'd lived and been brought up. Knowing that the prophet has no honour in his own country, he still went, and he went to the synagogue, and when the scroll was put in his hand, he unrolled the sacred volume, and he read the text for the day, a text that all Jews accepted as prophetic and applying to the promised Messiah. And the text that he read is, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And then he began to apply it to himself. And in so doing, he very clearly stated that he was the promised one. And that caused a great commotion. They dragged him out and they'd have thrown him from the brow of the hill, but he escaped. And he knew that they were consumed with anger. Yet he still stood and showed no fear, faithfully proclaiming what he knew to be the truth of God. He dealt out the honest truth. He never knew the fear of man. He stood out as God's chosen, with who God had anointed above all others. And we too should be like Jesus in that. If we are the servants of the living God, we should be like Jesus Christ, bold for our Lord, never shy to state our belief. Your love of Christ may bring some temporary ridicule from your friends or from your enemies, but keep on and stand firm. Be like Jesus, courageous for your God, so that when they see you and they see your boldness, they may say, "He has been with Jesus." But while we're bold and courageous, we should also have the love of Jesus. Remember when a child came to him, and he took the child on his knee and he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And then there was a widow who had lost her only son, and Jesus wept at the coffin along with her, and in a word, restored the dead man to life. He sees a paralytic, a leper, or a man long confined to his bed. He speaks and they rise and are healed. He lived for others, not for himself. He constantly worked for the good of those who lived in the world. And to crown it all, we know the mighty sacrifice he made when he was willing to lay down his life for man. when on the cross, quivering with agony and hanging in the utmost suffering, he submitted himself to death for our sakes, that we might be saved. Christ is love personified. As God is love, so Jesus Christ is love. And we Christians should love also. Our love and mercy should shine out on all men. Each of us in our own way should speak kind words, do kind actions, live out Christ again in the kindness of our life. If there's one virtue which is most commends Christians, it's that of kindness. It's the love to people of God, the love to the church, the love to the world, the love to all. Imitate Christ in your loving spirit. Speak kindly, act kindly, and do kindly, that men may say of you, he has been with Jesus. Another great aspect of the life of Christ was his deep and sincere humility, which we too should imitate. Look at Jesus as he's talking to the children. He who is the Son of God bending to speak to mankind on earth. He lived with the peasants of Galilee, and then he washed his disciples' feet and wiped them with a towel after supper. This is your master, the one you worship. This is your Lord, the one you adore. And yet some who count themselves Christians can't bear to be with those who have a different lifestyle to them. And that shouldn't be so with Christians. We ought to forget class. We ought to forget class, education and situations when we come into Christ's church. Let us remember who our Lord was, a man of the poor. He lived with them, he ate with them, and he was humble. He'd do anything which might serve others. He had no pride, so for us to be like him, we need to be like Christ in his humility. And then we should imitate him in his holiness. Was he zealous for his master? Then let us be. Did he go about doing good? Was he self-denying, never looking for his own interest? Then let us be. Was he devout? Then let us be fervent in our prayers. Was he patient? Then learn to persevere. And best of all, as the highest picture of Jesus, try to forgive your enemies as he did. Those wonderful words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," should always be your first response to every situation. When you're prompted to revenge, when your anger springs up, hold back. Forgive as you hope to be forgiven. Heap coals of fire on the heads of your enemy by the kindness to him. Remember, good for evil is godlike. So be godlike, and in all ways and by all means live so that your enemies may say, he has been with Jesus. And then just one more thing. There are those who are spiritual on a Sunday, but not on a Monday. How many are there who come up to the house of God on Sunday with a solemn face and enjoying in the songs, yet on Monday they can't be distinguished from those of the world? When should a Christian be like Jesus Christ? Is there a time when he may strip off his uniform, when the soldier may unbuckle his armour and become indistinguishable from the crowd? Well, certainly not. At all times and in every place, a Christian should be what he professes to be. We must be imitators of Christ at all times. We must imitate him in public. We live in a world outside the church, and the world observes everything we do and are quick to criticise. We must live the life of Christ in public and take care that we show our Saviour and not ourselves, so that we can say, it's no longer I that live, but the Christ that lives in me. We must take care that we carry this into the church too. We need to ensure that we carry the Spirit of Christ even in church, so that all who see us will say, he's been with Jesus. But most of all, we should take Jesus into our house. A Christian house is the best proof of true faith. It's not in the chapel or the church who can best judge me, it's in my house. It's not the minister or the pastor, it's my husband or wife. A good Christian will have a good household. Roland Hill, the preacher, once said he would not believe a man to be a true Christian if his wife, children, and even the dog and cat were not better for it. Your household is not the better for your Christianity if the people cannot say, this is a better house than others, and do not be deceived, you have nothing of the grace of God. Carry out your godliness in your family, and let everyone see that you have practical faith. Let it be known and read in the house as well as in the world, for what we have at home is what we really are. So take care of your home. And then we should imitate Jesus in secret. When no eye sees you except the eye of God, when darkness covers you, then be like Jesus. Remember the secret prayers of Jesus. Remember how after preaching the whole day, he would steal away in the dead of night to seek help from his God. Remember how his entire life was constantly sustained by fresh inspirations of the Holy Spirit obtained by prayer. Take care of your secret life, so that you will not be ashamed for it to be revealed at the last great day of judgment. Your inner life is written in the book of God, and one day it will be opened before you. Let every one of us try to be more like Jesus Christ. Then our testimony among those of the world will be, they have been with Jesus. We need to be imitators of Christ. Are you a Christian, born again of the Spirit of God? If so, you are a disciple of Christ. Does your life and conduct cause men to wonder and say, he has been with Jesus? We started looking at Peter as he faced the Sanhedrin and proclaimed the truth to them. The change that had come over that man was plain for all to see. From a brash, impulsive, rough fisherman, he'd been changed into a fiery and bold preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From a man whose courage failed when tested at the trial of Jesus, and who angrily denied even knowing him, to a man who boldly stood up to some of the most powerful men in the land and told them they had committed an awful crime against God. A man whose changed behaviour caused the Sanhedrin to conclude that the only explanation was that he had been with Jesus. Will that be our experience? Will people look at us and say, the only explanation for our behaviour, our lifestyle, is that these people have been with Jesus? Well, I hope so. I hope that is what people will say about me. How about you? Do you want it said about you? Let this be the testimony that the whole world has about us. These people have been with Jesus. Amen.